So when did you realize that your own pain and what you were experiencing internally would be part of the preaching and leadership equation?
Well, before we planted the church, we went to this assessment weekend kind of thing, and there was just a lot of training and different stuff like that. And the wives track was called Hope and Healing. And Molly and I were going, oh man, if that's like the title of the church planting wives track is Hope and Healing, then are we signing up for despair and pain? And we realized, yeah, that is part of the equation. That's part of leading. And so much so that people go, hey, before you do this, make sure you know what you're getting into.
Hey, welcome to the Preaching Through podcast. I am Dave Schrein, along with my co-host, Luke Simmons. And today, we are talking about what it means to be a shepherd, a leader, a preacher, a pastor during times that are painful, discouraging, or difficult. And it's a conversation that, quite frankly, when I started to look online and just do a little bit of, hey, what's out there already, I could not find a whole lot, at least in terms of actively leading and actively going through it. I think it's really easy to talk about things 5, 10, 15 years after they've passed, but an active conversation of, hey, here is some pain that I'm actually experiencing right now, yet I'm expected to get up and to preach in front of people. It's a conversation that there's not a lot of dialogue around.
Well, and even as you and I had brainstormed topics for this series, one of the things that I suggested was, hey, we've got to talk about preaching through pain. And as I think we're going to talk about, you know, that resonates with you.
Yeah.
But it kind of surprised you, I think, at the same time. Like, wait a minute, when we're envisioning talking about preaching through difficult texts and preaching through the Gospels and kind of the typical things you'd think about with related to preaching, this didn't hit, at least initially, on your radar. And yet, as we talked about it, you went, yeah, we need to do that. So I'm curious why even it was surprising to you.
I believe I shared this in one of our previous episodes. Part of my idealization of pastors is pastors don't get hurt and pastors don't hurt people. And that
false and false.
Yeah. And as I've gotten older, I certainly realize that I can be hurt by a pastor, but through realizing that I could be hurt by a pastor, I got to start thinking that, oh, I can actually hurt people. And the way I'm feeling about this person or that person or this experience or that experience, I might actually be causing that in or around other people. And just like, I'm not saying anything to that person, they're not saying anything to me. And that awareness, that level of awareness, I think it was just really I don't want to say, like, God used that pain is what I'm trying to get at. And now it's a part of my story to where I am aware of it. So it's a part of my emotional maturing process. But number two, I can call it out and I can talk about it just because you've experienced something doesn't make you an expert on it.
Sure.
But when you experience it and go through the processing and bring other people into that process with you, it gives you a level of expertise. Hopefully, if you've brought the right people around you, I guess you could have toxic people around you and it'd give you a whole nother, you know, flair. I believe that the people that I've brought into my life, number one, because it was all founded on something that doesn't change, which is God and His Word. And number two, they are balanced people. And if you look at their lives, there is a lot of balance in their lives. We've all got issues. But through those experiences, I believe it brought me a level of expertise to where now I can see it and say something and have these conversations. So when you brought it up, I was like, golly, we really should talk about that because it really is true, but you don't think of it when you, like, it's not a natural flinch when you think about preaching.
Well, we said a few episodes ago that if you preach to people in pain, you'll always have an audience. Mm-hmm. Well, if that's true of the people in our pews, then that's true of us.
Yeah.
And so it's important that we talk about what happens when we're hurting, what happens when we're going through hard times. And we'll talk about lots of different reasons and kinds of pain, but the reality is we bring our full self to the preaching moment and to the leadership moment. And if that's the case, then we've got to navigate how to do that when our life is not going great for whatever reason.
I have a few examples that I will pull in and I'll reference, but I definitely have experienced, and hopefully listening right now, you can call out maybe some moments where you did lead well and you felt like you handled the pain going on in a healthy, modeling type of way. But I was also able to recall several instances where I just
flat out made mistakes. And sure. in my pain, I did not lead well. And I had some mending of fences that needed to be done. So we'll get into some of those experiences. We'll get into some of those conversations, maybe as it relates to us. Where I want to start is really just identifying, I think there are two levels, and you can disagree with me on this, or we can talk back and forth.
Great.
I think there's really two levels that this happens on. I think there's interpersonal difficulties. It's you relating to other people or mm-hmm. situations involving other people. And then there is the personal, the internal, and that might be influenced by other people,
sure.
but it really is more of a, who am I, my identity, how am I handling these sorts of things as opposed to how am I to relate? And so I separated some just bullet points.
Yeah. But, I would maybe add one that's,
okay.
that's more like situational. And I think especially related to like your family.
Okay.
Right. So maybe that's a layer of the like personal.
Yes.
You know, but there's kind of like just what's going on in your own heart. There's what's going on in your life close to you. And then there's what's going on in the relationships with people inside or outside the church that impact that. So that's maybe just a third layer.
Well, I like that. I don't have time to go back and amend my notes. So if you hear one and you're like, that's what I was talking about, you speak yeah. up. So I'm going to read through these just to set the tone
Great.
And the frame of the conversation, and then we'll get into it. Some of the interpersonal difficulties that we have to navigate, nasty emails. And then you actually see, this was one that you wrote down. Then you actually see those people on any given Sunday
sure.
who have written you those emails. People you love leaving the church, people who mean something to you leaving the church, not just specific people leaving, but the emotions that come with an overall decline in maybe Sunday attendance, a decline in a program or a class that maybe you were excited about and people just aren't getting it, navigating toxic relationships and toxic people.
Yep.
And those are real. Call them out. Financial shortcomings. That's a real one.
Sure.
When you feel like, okay, we're going to have to do something here because the money is not there.
Yeah.
Difficult dynamics with board of overseers and staffing turnover. So those are some of the interpersonal mm-hmm. difficulties. Some of the personal struggles, just straight up disappointments, struggling with your calling or your purpose. I think there's a, as I've talked with pastor, there is this truth that maybe the calling isn't as strong on their lives,
sure.
but they don't feel like they have any vocational skills that could help them provide for their family and find purpose outside of the church. And so they just carry on. And that's a huge, huge burden
sure.
to be under. For me personally, struggling with depression while I was in ministry. I'll mm-hmm. talk about this more, but in 2012, I was diagnosed with depressions, feelings of failures, medical needs with someone close to you. Maybe that's one of those family situational things.
Yeah, sure. Like I have a friend who, you know, his wife had a miscarriage on a Friday and he had to get up on a Sunday and preach
yeah.
about the goodness of God. And he wasn't feeling it too much. You know, he knows that that's true, but yeah. So it can be something like that. Or obviously, you know, I have another friend who was in ministry and his wife declined with a really rare form of cancer over 7 years. And he couldn't just go, well, I'm not going to lead and preach for the yeah. next 7 years. It's like, you know, he had to grind through it. And you could see the toll it was taking, but you know, you have those short-term things, those long-term things, but it's that kind of stuff that you bring that with you.
And you've got your weaknesses that start to reveal themselves and even just a poor performance review.
Sure.
It just doesn't come in the way you want. And now that's weighing on your mind. So there are a lot of different angles we could cover,
yep.
but I'm hoping that that sets a little bit of the tone for what this conversation will be.
Yeah.
So before we get into it, this is the Preaching Through podcast, and this is where we invite you, the pastor, to join us as we prepare to preach through all sorts of different scenarios, topics, themes, situations that we may find ourselves in inside of ministry, whether you are full-time, whether you are volunteer, whether you are bivocational. I had somebody reach out this week saying, I am a full-time high school principal and I am a bivocational pastor.
Oh man, that's awesome.
It's really, really cool.
How cool.
The question that he actually had was, there's this expectation I feel to show up to all of the people who are in the hospital or who are sick. And so taking some of the content that we've discussed here, I just replied back to him and I said, here's one way you could form a plan. So there's all sorts of people.
Did you say listening. High school principal?
High school principal.
And I'd love to know who's easier to lead, high school freshmen or church people.
So somebody who...
That guy is signing up for pain, right? He needs this episode. right here.
This one's for you, man. One of the things, real insightful, Seth, who is on staff here, Seth Trout at Redemption Gateway, he was repeating what he had heard from somebody who led seniors ministry. Uh-huh. Said, you know, what is, I don't remember exactly the question, but you know, what thought do you have about ministry? And she, a grandmother, yep, said, all ministry is junior high ministry. Yep,
that's right.
I just thought, wow.
Yeah, everybody's insecure. Everybody's trying to figure out how they fit. Everybody's trying to figure out if God has a plan for them. Yeah, there's a lot of insight there.
There is a lot of insight here, and we're hoping we'll give you some insights that you can take into the pulpit, that you can take into your leadership, that you can take into your church to preach the gospel to people who need it. 21st century America is a lot different than centuries past, and so the way that we relate, the way that we connect with one another, it needs to go under the microscope. We need to examine it. We need to examine it so we can come out on the other side with a well-crafted, well-strategized plan, because the gospel deserves it. So we're going to get into this conversation here all about preaching through hard times. Hey, pastors, let's think back to a time when you prepared your very first sermon. All you had in front of you was an assigned passage and a blinking cursor. You weren't sure how to start, so you began studying the passage and then writing whatever came to mind. You got through it, preached your sermon, but how much more effective would the entire process have been if you had started your preparation with a little bit more insight, a little bit more help? This is where Ministry Pass comes in. Ministry Pass sermon resources provide pastors with a head start on planning sermon series, as well as drafting their individual sermons, saving hours every week while still putting their best foot forward and preaching a sermon that's true to them. Instead of starting with a blank page and just searching for ideas, Ministry Pass offers ready-to-use sermon content that can fit into any sermon or serve as an inspirational springboard for other ideas. When you log in to ministrypass.com, you immediately gain access to over 1,500 sermon series. That's 75 years worth of sermon content. Each series comes with a series guide that includes suggested illustration ideas, series big ideas for your individual messages, possible application points, and even a sermon series graphic package. Head over to preachingthrough.com/ministrypass for a free trial and start writing faithful sermons faster. So as I mentioned previously, there's all sorts of ways that you could approach this conversation. One more lens that we need to define is we are approaching this specifically through the lens of preaching. Now, leadership comes into that. Relationship comes into that. We know that preaching doesn't happen in a silo, but this is the Preaching Through podcast.
So, yeah, there's lots of resources on how to navigate pain and how to deal with hard times as a Christian. We're specifically trying to say, how do hard times shape your preaching and impact your preaching?
So I've broken the conversation into six different observations or considerations that pastors can use as they evaluate the season of life that they are in. But as we were preparing the episode, you said, I actually think this conversation really relates well to one of the previous episodes we had, which was the Christmas Easter conversation. In that episode, you said, really, you want to prepare not just the sermon, but you want to prepare the pastor as well. How do you see these two conversations colliding?
Well, yeah, that idea of preparing the preacher is the ongoing work all the time of anybody who's preaching. Anyone can say, okay, this week I have to prepare the sermon. But the sermon is drawing from a personal well of life and experience and reading and education and all sorts of stuff. And so this really relates to preparing that yourself as just a person who is then the preacher. My counselor, one of the things he said to me over
Hold
and
on.
Over.
You, the pastor, see a counselor.
I do. It's interesting. He calls himself a coach because he knows pastors don't want counseling.
Hey.
But I know that I need a counselor, so I call him a counselor because everything in me wants to call him a coach instead. So it sounds more studly.
All right. So I just wanted to mention that. There we go. Continue on.
And that is actually relevant to this conversation.
Great. I think.
But one of the things that he says all the time is he says, the best gift you give in your leadership, in your preaching, in your family, the best gift you give is your transformed and transforming presence. And that actually explains why preaching is so draining. If you ever thought like, okay, I got up and I gave a sermon, I talked for 30, 40, 50 minutes, And then that afternoon, I am trashed. Like, I'm home on my couch feeling like I just got hit by a bus.
Yeah.
What in the world? Like, I feel like I could go give a talk at the Rotary Club about anything for 45 minutes and I wouldn't be this tired. Why am I so tired? It's because preaching is giving yourself. There is a sense in which people, you're giving your presence away through it. And there's a weird, mystical, I don't fully understand it kind of dynamic, but that just is true. You are giving of yourself. And so if you're giving of yourself, and if that's actually the best gift, well, if yourself is hurting, if yourself is in pain, if you are navigating trials and difficulties, that's going to come through. And I think we should embrace that it should, mm-hmm. that that's actually okay, mm-hmm. that we're whole people. And so that has to come through and it has to be part of our ministry, even if it's something that never really even gets explicitly talked about. I don't know that you could get up on a Sunday and go, by the way, everybody, things are really difficult because my wife just had a miscarriage. I mean, in most contexts, that would be actually inappropriate right. level of vulnerability.
Right.
But you're bringing yourself to it. And so it really matters.
That's actually really relevant to the first point I had written down, is that preaching isn't just a transfer of what you know, but it's also about transferring who you are and your presence.
Yeah.
And you gave the example of the Rotary Club. I have written down, like, if it's a lecture, you can just start spouting off information.
Sure.
And you don't necessarily, I mean, especially in a classroom environment, you don't necessarily need to be compelling, although I would argue you probably should put some effort into it,
uh-huh.
but you don't need to be compelling because you're giving the information ultimately so that somebody can take that information, regurgitate it in some way, shape, or form, and move on having that information now. But at this point, we're talking about something beyond just information.
It's Paul in 1 Thessalonians. He's describing his ministry to the Thessalonians, and he says, we gave you not just the gospel of God, but our very selves.
Mm.
And I don't know exactly what Paul had in mind with that, right? That would be really interesting to ask him, what did you mean? But what he at least means is that there's more than a transfer of knowledge. There's a transfer of your person, your presence, your love, your affection. Even as we as pastors say, follow me as I follow Jesus, there's a personal dynamic mm-hmm. to that. It isn't just cognitive. We're not just brains on a stick. We're whole people. And so that's what we bring to the preaching moment, is we bring our whole person.
I guess just thinking about that now in the context of how Jesus lived, I mean, he was a real dynamic person. In the episode we talked about preaching the gospel, it's about bringing him off of the 2D flannel graph and painting a full resolution, high definition picture of who he is, which means real emotions, which means real feelings, real situations, real dynamics. I mean—
Yeah, do you think the disciples ever— I assume a lot of the sermons of Jesus we have recorded, he probably gave multiple times.
Yeah.
In multiple different settings. What do you think of this? I don't know. Was there a time when the disciples were sitting there going, man, he seems tired today?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, we know he wasn't sinful.
Yeah.
But was there ever a moment where it was like, yeah, he just doesn't quite have it today. He seems tired. He seems worn out. Why don't we get alone to pray for a while? You know? I mean, I realize even just talking about that can sound really sacrilegious, but it's like he was a real person that brought his real self to the ministry. And of course, he wasn't sinful.
Mm-hmm.
How could it have not impacted his ministry?
Put the pieces together. One of the things that we love about the Bible is it doesn't really hold back any of the bad parts. You see the bad sure. parts, and you see the sinfulness, and you see the falls, and you see all sorts of just wretchedness that— It's like, it's easy to point it out in someone else. You're like, that's pretty much me as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Jesus, obviously he was without sin, but look at the overall narrative of the gospel. There was emotional moments. It doesn't talk about him being tired during the Sermon of the Mount, but it does talk about him being weary in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can account here that he definitely experienced a full range of emotions just by the way that it's laid out in the different situations in the gospel. So,
well, it definitely comes out in the Apostle Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul, when he says, hey, okay, Corinthians, fine. You finally baited me into it. Okay, I'll boast about my ministry. What does he boast about? The pain,
mm-hmm.
the hard times, the difficulty. You want proof that I'm really connected to the Lord? You want proof that I have real spiritual authority? Here it is. 39 lashes minus one. Plus shipwrecks, plus the pressure of the churches, plus, and you go, wow, if that's actually what marks my ministry with credibility is pain, you start to go, I didn't think I got into it for that. But if that's part of the deal, then how do I navigate it?
So there is the fundamental difference between transfer of knowledge and showing up and preaching. Then there is the reality that your pain will show up. And when you are in pain, I think it should be said that we should have an expectation that it will impact ministry, but not just in negative ways. It will also impact ministry in positive ways.
Yeah, I mentioned the pastor friend that I have whose wife had cancer for 7 years, and you watched him get more tender. You watched him get more compassionate. You watched him get more less brash, less fiery. Some people, that bothered them. Oh, he's lost his edge. I actually looked at it and said, I think this is part of how the Lord's sanctifying him and making him godly. And so, yeah, when you're in pain, you're more sensitive to people in pain. And I think that comes through in positive ways in your preaching. On the other hand, when you're in pain, if it's not being processed very well, you know, there's the saying that hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And so that pain can come out. It can be angry. It can be lashing out. It can be other self-indulgent things that come through in the pulpit that aren't good. So, but either way, your pain's going to impact you, right? I mean, it's impacting you, and who you are is coming out. And so, of course, it's coming out in your preaching.
So I see there to be, in my own life, there's two ways. There's the short-term way that pain has emerged, and then there's the long-term. I already talked about the long-term in that. Sure. My pain has helped inform my ability and my desire now to go out and look and empathize and sympathize in all sorts of situations and just say, you know what, there's more going on here than what I know. So I'm going to give a little bit more grace, and I'm going to feel this out a little bit more slowly than maybe I would have 15 years ago. But then 15 years ago, when I was 10 years ago, when I was in ministry, I have moments where it was not great. And one of those moments was when I was leading young adults. And that's a really difficult ministry to be a part of, because you have young immaturity in so many levels, but you also have growing intellect and a desire to want to pursue some level of maturity in some way, shape, or form.
Well, and gobs of idealism.
Gobs of idealism. And you're trying to navigate that. And I was like, I don't know, 26, 27. So right. It's not like I'm drawing from a deep well.
Right. But they thought you were an old man at that point. You know?
Not one gray hair, but they thought I was the sage. And sure. So how I handled myself was under a microscope. Well, what I noticed in college and young adult ministry was a lot of times folks would show up just to pair off, boy, girl, they'd start dating, and then they'd leave. And I'm like, I'm trying to build something here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to actually move us towards realizing a mission, and you're poaching off my people. Like, what are you doing here? And I remember one day in particular, something had happened and I just lost it. And I just started weeping and I was so hurt. And so I called somebody who was very close to me, who I hadn't seen in a while. I was like, do you have time? I need you now. And I went and I sat down with him and I just let it all come out, the good, the bad, whatever. It was probably really ugly. And one of the things he said, I don't know if this is common or if this is unique to him, but he said, when you feel like this, often I think of HALT: hungry, angry, lonely, or tired.
Yeah.
And it's usually a combination of at least two of those.
Yep.
And as I slowed down and evaluated, I was like, I feel very lonely right now, and I'm very, very tired. And that gave me a lot of perspective as to why I was feeling the way that I was feeling.
Sure.
And of course, it's not this looking inward then of like, how do I resurrect this? But it's the idea of like, okay, I have this Holy Spirit inside of me. I have God's word to guide me. What do I need to do here to be true to the call, but move forward and just say, you know what? Past is past. I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to do something different so that doesn't happen again.
As we think about leading people to really following Jesus, which is what we're trying to do, this is actually a critical ingredient, because the way of following Jesus is that we are following Jesus into death with the hope of resurrection. And we want to skip that. We just want to bounce straight to the resurrection. And so there's a real triumphalistic, glib, rah-rah, everything's awesome vibe in a lot of Christian subculture that is actually pretty incongruent with the gospel and incongruent for sure with following Jesus. And we can actually contribute to that when when we give off a kind of I'm always winning sort of thing. And actually the process, and so it's very disillusioning to people when they go, well, I thought Christianity was only going to be up and to the right. And the reality is, no, it's actually going to be a series of dying to yourself, dying to your comfort, dying to your preferences, dying in hopes of resurrection. And so pastors actually suffering is part of what God is using to help all of his people suffer well. And our familiarity with that is crucial, not just for our own growth and sanctification, but actually for the discipleship and development of our people.
So there's going to be different levels of pain. There's going to be different levels of suffering, and there's going to be different levels of injury. And so one of the third point that we have to discuss here is the idea of when do I play injured and when do I need to go on the IR?
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, I grew up playing sports and, you know, you would turn your ankle and they go, well, are you hurt or are you injured? Right? And hurt meant you can keep playing. Injured is, no, you really need to stop. And that's a key question, because if you are dealing with some pain, and I'm thinking of all kinds of different emotional and spiritual pain here, and you're injured, it's only going to get worse. If you're hurt, like, and I don't know, everyone's a little bit different and every situation's a little bit different. I'm hesitant to go, hey, here's what counts as hurt and here's what counts as injured. What I would say is you got to know yourself. And just in general, like I think about my kids, I have, you know, some people are wired to go, I'm fine. I'll play through it. And those people probably need to figure out some way for some trusted person to say, hey, you're not fine. You're injured and you're playing injured and you're not just playing hurt. You're playing injured. We gotta slow down. Other people, it's like any little thing happens and, you know, it's really hard and they're really fragile, right? And they need someone around them to go, hey, come on, you can do it. Get back in there. Let's go. Strap it up. Don't quit.
Yeah.
And so you got to know your tendency. And my guess is a lot of folks listening to this are more in that first category. And having somebody who loves you and knows you and sees you, and you've given permission to speak in and say, hey, I'm concerned about you. You know, can we figure out a way to get you some time off, or can we figure out a way to get you some counseling, or can we figure out a way to just help you in a variety of ways? Because I'm concerned.
So you mentioned time off, and we won't make a tangent here, but go back and listen to the episode all about creating and preaching through a sermon calendar. Time off is vital. And it's not because you're trying to abate yourself from any responsibility. It's not because you're just trying to get a week off. It's because you are a person too. And you need time to refresh, to rejuvenate, to restore areas of your life, both personally, spiritually, professionally. And time off will often give you the perspective and the space necessary to have some of that evaluation. And it's a great opportunity to bring some people into dialogue as well. So go back and listen to that episode if you feel like time off, especially from the pulpit, is just, it's not in your forecast. It can be. And there's some great insight into how to do that. So you've got the idea of injured or just hurt.
And most of us are going to play hurt most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of how it works. I have a friend, actually. He's a bullpen coach for the Dodgers. And we always laugh whenever some player is listed as day-to-day, right? They come off the injured, you know, the injured reserve list, and they're listed as day-to-day. And we're like, who's not day-to-day? Isn't everybody day-to-day?
Right.
Like, I mean, you're fine today until something goes wrong tomorrow. Like, yeah. I don't know, everybody's day-to-day. And so a lot of us, we're playing with day-to-day nagging things. And sometimes those nagging things can become actual injuries. And sometimes you just play through it and then something else happens. And so this takes the Spirit and it takes judgment and it takes wisdom. But the reality is if you start to play injured and not just hurt, you're going to hurt yourself worse and you're going to hurt others. And there's now the pain is actually going to compound.
And it could get to a point where it's irreparable.
Sure.
I mean, if you think, I mean, just sports is such a great analogy for it. Robert Griffin III, when he played in that playoff game all that years ago,
yeah,
and he hurt his knee, yet he continued to play. He was never the same, and his career was cut short because he was not hurt. He was injured.
Yep.
Yet he continued to play, and I think they actually won that game, and then they went on to get crushed. So It can cause irreparable damage, and sports is a great illustration of what that could look like.
And you got to be careful, because on one hand, you're called to follow Jesus into death. On the other hand, you know, one of my mentors always would say, listen, Jesus died for the church. You don't have to. He did it. And so if you think, well, I just got to totally burn myself out for the kingdom, I don't think there's a lot of wisdom there. That's not a long-term good for the kingdom.
So saying that, I'm going to chime in. And as somebody who was under senior pastor leadership, I'm going to extend that. And I'm going to say, don't be killing other people for the kingdom either.
Yeah.
Don't be That's crucifying good. Your people to get things done.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is the one who died for the church, and you nor your people should be dying for the church.
Right. Sure. Yeah. It's like, well, Jesus died for the church. I don't have to, but my tech guy does. You know, like, well, that's not really fair.
Yeah, that's actually where a lot of my hurt spurned from. It was this idea that on Thursday afternoon, because where I worked both churches, it was a Friday, Saturday days off. It was Thursday afternoon, 5 o'clock. Lead guy was always out the door. And then Friday morning.
Hey, I had an idea.
And I'm like, honestly, I'm like, forget you, man. Like, I got plans with my family. And when I became a parent, it was even more so that I was like, no, like, I'm sorry. I have plans with my family and with my friends today. And if it's that important, get it to me on Monday. So, that's, you can probably hear some of the hurt coming out there.
Sure.
So, you've already gotten into this, but it is categorizing that pain and where it is coming from, because there are different types of pain. We've talked about the different levels of pain, the hurt and then the injury, but there are those different types of pain, and those different types of pain may even determine just where you should fall in terms of stepping back or leading through it.
Yeah. And I mean, I can just speak a little bit autobiographically here.
Sure.
Maybe that would encourage some people. I mean, I've had times where I've been dealing with spiritual pain, and I've never been into something that I think would be diagnosed as actual depression. And so you could talk if you want to about that experience, Dave, but I've definitely had times where it's like, I don't feel close to the Lord. I don't feel like he's really answering my prayers. I don't feel like I have much of a thing going with God, and I'm not sure I want to. Mm-hmm. And how do you navigate that? I've had times where I remember in 2013 pulling up to the church, and this thought popped in my head: if I never came back here, I would not care. And thankfully, the next thought, which I think was from the Spirit, was, "Hey, Luke, that doesn't sound like you. Are you okay?" And that actually sent me into a process of figuring out, okay, there's some rhythms with Sabbath and habits and hobbies and see a doctor and some other things that I needed to do. But I was going through a season of just emotional, spiritual pain. And so that's a kind of pain that I think a lot of us are navigating, right? You mentioned earlier, you know, just the disappointment in God. You know, God, I thought I was doing this thing for you, and I thought that you were in this, and here we are plateaued at 80 people or plateaued at however, you know, and I thought I was doing this the right way. And then, you know, why isn't it going better? And so all that discouragement, I think, adds up.
One of the things after I got let go from the church that I was at, I do, for anybody who's listening, who has gone through a marriage divorce, I'm not trying to compare what I experienced to that, but it gave me language to help understand why I was feeling the way that I was feeling. When all of a sudden I was told that the things that I was working towards, the things that I invested in, the things that I had built were no longer mine and no longer, not just not my responsibility, but I was actively pushed away from those things. I could not figure out. I didn't have the language to explain that type of break. And then somebody said, well, this is what the word divorce is. It's a unceremonial breaking, a not a desired breaking. And that helped me understand why I was in so much pain. And through that, I traveled to Kentucky and I got some time. I stayed with my aunt and uncle, and I just shared with my uncle. He's a spirit-filled Christian.
Good and, for him.
Yeah. Very, very much just God is always active. God is always moving. We've talked about this in the past, and maybe I don't have enough room for that or I haven't made enough room for that. And so it was really good for me to be around him, because I was not feeling the Spirit in those moments. And I explained all these things that I did, and I just said, and it was taken away from me. And he goes, well, you weren't doing those things for him, for the pastor. Weren't you serving God the whole time? Weren't you doing those things for God? Wasn't that the motive behind what you were doing? He can't take that away.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I was just like, man, no matter how I feel, that work is not going to be returned void. Mm-hmm. That work is going to have an impact. Now, we can make an argument on whether I was healthy in the amount of work that I put in and the hours that I worked. That's not the discussion here. The discussion here is, even when you don't feel like, God, where are you in this? I was working so hard towards this and I don't feel like you're showing up. This person leaves. This person hurts me. Well, I'm like, all of that was still for you.
Yeah.
All of that was still something that I was doing for you. And that was really help. So that actually leads into the next, like dealing with our pain and addressing with our pain. And something that was really helpful for me was getting the proper language to help identify how I was feeling and why I was feeling. A theme that's coming up here is bringing people into the process with you and allowing them to contribute. What are your thoughts on, you've mentioned it a couple of times, hurt people. So what are your thoughts on how we should deal with our pain?
Well, some of it depends on what the pain is, right? So if you go to the doctor and you say, I'm in pain, the doctor doesn't say, well, here you go. Here's what to do. The doctor starts to go, well, where and for how long? And did it start somewhere else? And is it spreading? And there's a bunch of questions that they're going to ask. And so I think the way you deal with your pain is going to depend a lot on what it is, right? So if it's the kind of pain we were just talking about, the spiritual pain and just the discouragement that comes from unmet expectations, well, there's a certain way you might deal with that, right? That's, all of these are going to involve people. All of these are going to involve relationships and plurality and healthy folks to help you heal, maybe counselors or therapists. But that might be one thing. If a source of pain is related to some difficulty in your marriage, that's going to be a specific kind of thing to navigate. If it's a pain related to, you know, my wife and I are trying to have a baby and it's not happening and that's creating disappointment. Okay, well, there's a number of different ways you might approach that with doctors and with lots of other things. You know, when it's the interpersonal dynamics of, you know, I'm looking out as I'm preaching and the person in the third row is smiling at me and I know they hate my guts. Well, how do you deal with that pain, right? Yeah. That's going to be a little bit different. Yeah. And maybe you're going to have a hard conversation with them, or maybe you're going to have to process that with one of your board members or another leader or another pastor in town that you know and go, hey, how do you do this when the people who pat you on the back are also stabbing you in the back? Mm-hmm. So there's not a one size fits all to our pain or to how we deal with it. But the crucial thing is you have to deal with it. You have to address it because, as we said a little bit ago, hurt people. If you know, pain that is not healed is transferred. Somebody has said something along those lines. And so having this is where it gets very difficult as a leader, as a pastor. You're supposed to be the one with answers. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be the one helping everyone else with their pain. You're not supposed to have pain.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's all lies from the enemy, but that's lies we believe. And so this is going to take some humility, and it's going to take a culture to some degree of other leaders who understand that it's okay that their pastor needs help. I think a lot of pastors are willing to get the help, but the environment that feels like a real dangerous move, right? Like, hey, did you hear pastors in counseling?
Yeah.
What? You know, and that fear and that shame and that embarrassment and that I think I should be further along by now keeps a lot of us from actually dealing with the pain. Sometimes the way you get through the pain is you just get through the pain. Right. You know, I saw this great video that was going around by the Duke women's basketball coach it was so good. She was just saying, you know, everybody's waiting for things to get easier. It's not going to get easier. You just need to become the kind of person that handles hard better.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes that's it. I just got to get through it. I just got to keep going. One of my things is I think about people who leave our church or, you know, whatever, I go, I'm just going to outlast them. I'm just gonna, you know, and we've had people leave and we've had some of them come back and go, I was wrong and I'm sorry. And I go, oh, okay. And I try not to gloat at that point, but I just go like, I'm just gonna outlast you. Mm-hmm. But I will say if the I'm just gonna get through it is your only answer to pain, you're gonna end up having a lot of things that you should be dealing with that you're not.
Making the transition, and this brings us into our last consideration, is taking that first step, whatever pain you are experiencing right now, or whatever pain you have experienced and that hurt is still there and unresolved, there is the truth that we need to make a first step. And so that first step can look all sorts of different ways. And how you handle that as the pastor might be a little bit more delicate, because a lot of the people you are in relationship with are also the people you are shepherding. And so who you choose to share with, what you choose to share, and how deeply you choose to share, really there are some nuances there, not because you are special, but because the position that you're in is a unique calling. And so the way you handle that level is unique. I've got a couple things to share on this, but do you have any thoughts right off the bat as we talk about who you choose to share with?
Yeah. Well, one danger is people who think, if I don't tell everybody everything, then I'm not being authentic.
Yeah.
And I just think that is so unwise. And I don't think it's true. People can know the real you without knowing the full you. So framing it in terms of authenticity, if I don't tell everybody everything that's going on with me, I'm being inauthentic. That's not right. The other danger is nobody knows. Mm-hmm. I'm alone. Nobody's in the loop. Nobody knows what's really going on. And both of those are going to be really damaging to your leadership and ministry and life.
So one of the things you said there, what was it? Fully known. How did you word it?
Yeah. You can be truly known without being fully known, right? That's actually how the Lord is.
Yeah.
Right. We truly know him, but we don't fully know him. And that doesn't mean, well, I don't know the real God. It's like, no, you know, part of the real God. And in that relationship, you're knowing as much as he's allowing you to know right now. And so it's important that we're truly known. And I think actually we should have a couple people who fully know us, but to think that everybody should fully know us or we're not being authentic, that's a little bit too much a slave to the spirit of the age that overshares everything everywhere.
So this is very relevant to the whole live streaming and influencer phenomenon.
Sure.
Back in the mid 20 teens, so it was like 2015 or so, there was an app that came out called Meerkat. And Meerkat was the first live streaming app where you could hold your phone up, stare at your selfie camera, and talk to the world, and anybody could watch. There had been versions of this in the past, but really making it accessible for anyone and everyone to not only broadcast, but also view. Meerkat was a game changer. Meerkat did not have the level of funding that their rival Periscope ultimately had. So Periscope and Meerkat came out at the same time. Periscope got bought up by Twitter. And so Twitter basically put Meerkat out of business. So Periscope, I thought this new live streaming technology was just amazing. And so I started broadcasting on Periscope and I built up a pretty decent following because in those days you really didn't have to have anything interesting to say. You just had to just be there consistently and have something to say. Uh-huh. And so I started showing up, just talking about leadership, talking about marketing principles, and I developed a little bit of a following, but it started to bring up this issue of, well, how much do I share with people? How much do I let them in to what is going on in my life? And really, I am one of the people that tends to tell everybody everything. You've probably noticed that about me. I just tend to be a sharer and I don't necessarily have the filter that maybe I should have. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. That's just the way that I am. And so I've got people to help me. But it was a real question of, okay, how much do I share? And one of the things, so I'm going to give another version of what you said for people listening who maybe didn't catch that, but could resonate with, authenticity doesn't mean transparency. To be fully authentic, you don't have to be fully transparent. And you shouldn't be. There should be things, and we're teaching this to our kids now, there should be things, thoughts, activities that are reserved for just the closest people in your life. That is healthy. Mm-hmm. And so with my boys, I might have mentioned this on this podcast or quite frankly, a different one that I'm on, Power Rangers. I really wanted to like Power Rangers. Did we talk about Power Rangers on this?
No.
When I was a teen, man, I wanted to like Power Rangers.
You're oversharing, Dave.
I'm oversharing, but I started, so I have to finish. I wanted to like Power Rangers so bad, but I was about 2 years too old.
Okay.
And I felt like if I played with Power Rangers, I was going to get made fun of. Looking back now, I was like, man, I could have played with them and just not told anyone about it. Just hung out with my brothers, had fun with my brothers, even passed it off as like, oh, I'm playing with my brothers, you know? But I felt like, well, I have to share what I'm playing with and what I'm into right now. There's things that should be kept private.
Well, and there's and private's a key word. There's a difference between secrecy and privacy.
Right.
So secrecy is nobody knows. Privacy is the right people know. Right. So the right people should know everything. And for everyone else, it can just be private. And so that's an important thing as you're going through pain is you do need some people that know.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. They know how you're hurting. They know how your family's doing. They know what you're carrying. But not everybody needs to know that. Mm-hmm. And then when you decide, okay, I am going to share, then you got to use some wisdom, right? If I'm going to talk about some pain that's coming out of my marriage, well, is my spouse okay with how I'm going to talk about that?
Right.
If I'm going to talk about some pain that's coming because of my kids, are my kids okay with that? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of pastors have gotten into real trouble when they start telling unnamed stories about people in the congregation that everyone knows who it is.
Right.
You know, and some of you do this and, you know, everyone knows who you're talking about. And so those are examples of where our pain comes out in unhealthy ways. But when you do start sharing, yeah, you have to figure out, how do you share that well? And I think, how do you share it in a way that isn't, trying to manufacture pity? How do you share it in a way that somebody can actually do something with? Craig Rochelle says people would always rather follow a leader who's real than one who's right. And so I do think it's okay to talk about, here's this area where I'm hurting. Here's this area where I'm struggling, but it has to really be appropriate. And I think to be able to do that well, you've got to bounce that off of some people.
So to round out our conversation here, it's easy for us to go into the pulpit during good times, and it's easy for us to hearken back to struggles that we have had in the past. And I've noticed I'm not commenting on you or any of the teachers at our church, just in my history, I've noticed that a lot of the vulnerability typically comes exclusively from the past. And I know that there's leadership principles as to, I mean, all the things we've talked about, right? So my question to you, is there one or two tips that maybe you would give to, because I do think pastors should be more vulnerable about the things that are happening in the moment or very closely thereafter, because that's what everybody else is expected to do. Maybe it happens from the pulpit, maybe it doesn't, but balancing, hey, I'm going to be a little bit more vulnerable here about something that I am talking about that is relevant to me right now, and I'm calling people to, how would you handle that? Would you just say straight up, nope, don't do it? Or would you say something else?
Yeah, I think one thing I would say is be careful of using the pulpit to process your pain. Mm. And so if I give the benefit of the doubt of maybe why people talk about things in the past versus the present, I'm hopeful that it's that. Mm-hmm. You know, the pulpit is not a good place for therapy. So that would be the first thing is don't process your pain on your people. That's not a good idea. Another thing that comes to mind is, talk about how you're really feeling about stuff. I preached a sermon not too long ago about doubt. And I thought, I'm going to share some of my doubts, not just doubts I had when I was 15, but doubts I have now. And it got real uncomfortable. And people were going like, is he okay? And through the course of the sermon, they figured out, yeah, I'm okay. And here's actually how we deal with these doubts.
Yeah. But
so allowing people to know that you're real. I think where you can share specifics, and especially specifics that don't make you look very good, mm-hmm. that's a valuable thing to do, right? It's more valuable to say, you know what? I've had a really hard time believing God is good when this kind of tragedy happens than to say, you know, I sometimes have doubts. Well, that doesn't tell me anything. So I think there is vulnerability that can be good. I also think people manipulate it. You can, you know, the question is, do you want people to just have pity on you, or do you want them to be impressed by your vulnerability? Wow, he's so vulnerable. It's like, you know, if that's what you're aiming at, then that's actually not good either. Maybe what keeps us from being more vulnerable is all those dangers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's wisdom, and sometimes it's pride. And I mean, it's a lot of different things. So
I think part of the reason why that's something that I bring up is because as I've broken down my paradigm of the pastor. Often the teaching that I sat under, I never heard struggles. I never heard all sorts of issues. And so as a kid, every single sermon elevated the pastor higher and higher in my mind. And so to the point where I remember that message that you were talking about, and I was very curious. At that point, I was like, I wonder what his doubts are. And I know that I could ask you at any point in time, but I mean, that's not like a normal hangout type thing to ask. And so I was like, I wonder what those doubts are. And I thought that is a good example. I'm glad you brought that up, because that is a good example of this is a safe thing to share, but it's also very real to share. And so maybe what I would say is I think it would be cool if pastors would look for those moments and be aware of them and just have it on the radar, whether you do it or whether you don't do it, just have it on the radar.
Yep.
I like that idea. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope that it was encouraging to you. We put these episodes together and we put together the individual topics, thinking through, okay, we're drawing from several decades of ministry here. What are the things that we wish we would have been able to have conversations about? And this idea of preaching through hurt, preaching through pain and difficult times is one of those things that just hasn't gotten the spotlight the way that maybe it should have. And so our desire is that you listen to this, you feel like, okay, I've got a little bit of insight. And if there's anything we can do to help, you can reach out to us, support@ministrypass.com. They will get those messages to us as they have already done in the past. And we'll be able to share maybe a little bit more insight into your situation. But ultimately, the people in your life and the people who you are close to, in addition to yourself, you're going to be the ones most qualified to handle what is going on. And all you need to do is just step out to somebody who loves you, step out to somebody who cares about you, and just start the conversation. We would love to have you listen and subscribe wherever it is you consume podcast. And if you would please take a minute to rate and review the podcast, if you think this is a great conversation, really the only way we can get it in front of other people is through the algorithm. So just leave in a 5-star rating. If you think it's 4-star, go ahead and do 4-star. If you have a 1-star, please message me before and we'll see if we can work through our issues. And then
have to preach through new pain.
Then we'll have to preach through new pain. We'll do another episode all about that. But thank you. We can't wait to get our next episode out to you. We hope this one's helpful. God bless.